Talk about good King Asa. First Kings chapter 15. Just a reminder where we've been as far as the kings of Judah. Remember last week we saw a whole survey of good and bad all the way down through. But of course we've had Rehoboam for 17 years, Abijam, his son, for 3 years after the dividing of the kingdom. And now we have good King Asa for 41 years. However, the emphasis I want to emphasize here tonight is that he had 35, 36 years, good years as a king, but he finished off in a misplaced trust. So I encourage us to pay attention to that application here tonight in particular. And it says here in verse 9 gives us a context here. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And I'll remind you again, in verse 2, it says that Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom, was also the mother of Abijam. How's that possible? Well, obviously, grandmother. All right, so grandmother, you know. In fact, you're going to see here David, his father, and so David was not his direct father. We have to understand when the Bible talks about father and mother, we're talking about possibly generations removed from that. So it's important to keep that in mind. But again, remember Jeroboam reigned for 22 years. So King Asa began near the end of Jeroboam's reign in the northern kingdom there. First of all, we see in verse 11, Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. You notice here this comparison with David. Of course, David would be his great-great-grandfather. And as we think about it again in verse 3, we see a contrast with his father, Asa's father, Abijam. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. So again, we see all these comparisons of spiritual influence from David and Jeroboam on down through both of these kingdoms. And what I think is very interesting is they compare it to David and not Solomon. Remember, Solomon in his older years started serving false gods. And so the comparison is not made with Solomon. The comparison is made with David as we go back to the spiritual origin of that. Also notice in verse 12, he removed the Sodomites and idols from Judah. So there were some spiritual reforms that he led. It says he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed the idols that his fathers had made. I take that plural to speak of Solomon and also his grandfather Rehoboam. All of them actually encouraged idolatry as far as Israel was concerned or Judah is concerned. So there we see that he's removed not just the Sodomites but also the idols that his fathers had encouraged as far as the nation of Judah. It says in verse 12, he took away the Sodomites out of the land, removed the idols that his fathers had made. Verse 13, also Maacah, his mother, I mentioned this last week briefly, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. So we see here that, and in fact, let me just mention this. If you look at 2 Chronicles, grandmother is called Micaiah. So we see here there's more than one name as we see Kings and Chronicles in comparison. But notice here again, he's taking a stand, as I mentioned last week. Asa is taking a stand in relation to even a family member. Notice it says in verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. But as we think about these high places, easy way to think about this is essentially an alternate place of worship, distracting or detracting from the temple. That's why I believe it's important. But also what happened in many cases with these high places, they would actually introduce idolatry in relation to these high places as well. But again, the whole key with this is his heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Now as we think about also in verse 15, again, we're looking at some of the positive things before we move into the last 5 years of his life where he got sidetracked, off track spiritually. It says in verse 15, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated. That grabbed my attention. It says in verse 3 of chapter 15, Abijam walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And yet we see here his father, Abijam, had dedicated some things as far as the temple and also the things that he had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. And we'll see some more of this here in 2 Chronicles 14 in a moment. So as we think about the verse 16 and following then, I want you to understand that we're going to see this in 2 Chronicles, I should say. We're going to see that this is now in his last 5 years. So as we think about this, all of these good things, now I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 14. So all of these good things that we see here as far as Asa, but we're going to see here in the last 5 or 6 years of his life, he's going to have a misplaced trust. And we see here that he did not finish well spiritually. One of the things that this challenged my heart was that I want to finish well. I don't want to just, you know, be a good pastor, be a good husband, father, and then my last several years I fail miserably spiritually. So he's in the last 5 years as king. And I want you to notice here, go back to chapter 15, verse 16. I'm going to introduce this here because then we're going to look at 2 Chronicles here. It says, there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And of course, we see the clarification of Scripture that for the most part, that was true, but there were some years of peace that Asa enjoyed in 2 Chronicles, as mentioned. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And as we're going to see in 2 Chronicles 16, this is in the 36th year of Asa. It says in verse 18, then Asa took all the silver and gold that were left. Notice that were left. So we're talking about years later. So again, we're going to fill in the gaps here in 2 Chronicles. I forgot this is why I wanted for us to see this part here. Notice that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon. Notice he's the king of Syria that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Notice part of it was taken even from the house of the Lord. So here he's doing this league, this making this covenant, this agreement with a pagan king, Syria, king of Syria, and he's taken some of the wealth, the treasures that were in even the house of the Lord to make this alliance. But what I want you to notice here, there's no prayer that's mentioned. That's going to be very significant as we can go now, honestly this time, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 14, I want you to notice here this introduction as far as this time of peace. In verse 1 it says, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. And notice, in his days the land was quiet 10 years. All right, so there was a time of peace, and you notice here again the emphasis is that he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, not in his opinion, but in God's eyes. It says he took away the altars. Here's the emphasis on the idolatry that was mentioned in 1 Kings. It says, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. So notice here he starts off very well encouraging Judah to obey the Lord. It says in verse 5, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Now in this time of peace, you notice in verse 6 and following, he fortifies, he builds fenced cities in Judah. So because of the time of rest, he's using this as a time to shore up the defense of Judah. What I think is interesting, he's not using this time to add to their land. He's not building some imperialism that, you know, is going beyond the borders that God had designated, but he's actually in the defense posture, and which I believe is good for a nation. I believe God wants a military to be a defense and not an offensive where we're constantly attacking other nations. Again, God has set the bounds of our habitation. I really believe that we're out of bounds. As a nation, I believe America is out of bounds. We have too many wars. We have too many military stations and all that around the world. But notice again here, he's building, verse 7, towers, gates, walls, bars, and again. And he says, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Notice God's hand of blessing was on the nation. It says here in verse 8, Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. Out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 4 score, which of course is 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Now, with that said, notice he's building this defense system here, the defense of their nation. It says in verse 9, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000. All right, so 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. All right, so we have 1,000,000. Notice this host of 1,000,000. And notice 300 chariots. That'd be like us having tanks in our modern day. The 300 chariots was a thing of fear as far as military. Verse 10, it says, and then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. Notice it says, Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Oh, there's something good. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Notice this trust that he has here early in his reign. And it says, in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Notice this. He's pouring out his heart to God is an expression of trusting the Lord. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, before Judah. And notice the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. It says the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. Remember, the Lord Jesus is called the captain of the Lord's host in the book of Joshua. It says they carried away very much spoil. So again, verses 14 and 15 talks about the spoil. In fact, verse 15 even is interesting. They smote all the tents of cattle. They carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So they started their own caravans, their own trucking company there in Judah because of the spoil that they received. Now, chapter 15. I want you to notice Azariah, the son of Oded, is sent to encourage and strengthen Asa. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. Notice this statement. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. How much clearer statement can we get? When there's problems, we're struggling spiritually and all that, guess what? We're the ones who move, not God. We are the ones who move, not God. It says, if, notice that conditional word, if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Notice he was given this warning here that he does not heed later. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Notice the northern kingdom for a long season. That's how he describes this here. And we're talking about just like 20, 30 years now. It says, without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. I mean, you think about judges all the way down through the history of Israel. This is true. Nation was destroyed of nation. City of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Notice the challenge he gives to Asa here. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God will reward if you trust him. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols. So this is part of the reformation, the reforms that that were mentioned back in 1 Kings. Now we're given some other details here. Notice, out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, even a part of Israel, the northern kingdom, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Notice here there's another, this is the second wave of people from the northern kingdom. Hey, we hear there's a revival going on down in Judah. Let's move there. So they're literally gathering themselves together at Jerusalem, verse 10, the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. So now 15 years into his reign of 41 years. And they offered unto the Lord the same time and of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Notice, at 15 years into his 41-year reign, we see such positive things as far as Asa, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Of course, this is based on Old Testament law and God's commands, whether small or great, whether man or woman. It says, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. Literally, there's a revival taking place in the nation of Judah at Jerusalem. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Now, here's what I want you to understand again. So 15 years, 20 years, now we're into the 36th year, 35 into 36 years of his reign. Excellent things we could say of Asa. But yet the last five years, he misplaces his trust. He no longer is trusting in the Lord. And the Lord's going to bring that to his attention. Drop down to chapter 16. It says, in the 6th and 30th year, 36th year of the reign of Asa, notice Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Evidently, he found out that there was a lot of people traveling down or moving down to Judah. He says, wait, we're going to stop this move south here. Then Asa brought out silver and gold. Notice, no prayer. This is what I emphasized in 1 Kings. Where does it say that Asa was calling on God again like when they were facing a million people? So notice here, he says, it says here of Asa, he's bringing out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord, out of the king's house. And notice, sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee. So notice he's establishing this league, this treaty, between the king of Syria, because Baasha, king of Israel, is coming and basically besieging him and cutting things off there. It says in verse 4, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan. Notice Dan, where one of the golden calves were. And Abel-Maim. And notice all the store of the cities of Naphtali. It says, when it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. And Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, whereof Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now, I'll pause there just a moment. Notice here, he gets the results that he's desiring. I wonder how many times we go to the world instead of going to the Lord for help, and we get the desire that we want, but we no longer have God's blessing. I want you to take notice of this. He gets the desired result by going to the king of Syria, but all of a sudden God's hand of blessing is lifted off of him for his last 5 years, the last 5 years of his reign. Notice now verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, the prophet of God, came to Asa, king of Judah. So much for the Azariah, son of Oded, with the power, powerful message from God, encouraged and gave him courage of heart to do further reforms and all that. Now we have Hanani the seer that's going to Asa, king of Judah, with a not a positive message. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, and with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Notice again, he has this misplaced trust. That's what I'm emphasizing. And this was the downfall of his last 5 years of his reign. Notice this very famous verse, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, we often quote that verse without thinking about the context. The context is actually in a challenge and a correction from Hanani the seer. Notice it says, "Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Notice, he's not even getting an opportunity to repent and get this right. God has already said by way of Hanani the seer, you're going to have wars now, ongoing wars. Then Asa was wroth. Notice his response is not a positive response. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now Ecclesiastes 4:13 says this, Solomon refers to an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Think about that word picture. An old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So here's King Asa. But he had good reign, 36 years. Yeah, but he finishes horribly and does not have the blessing of God upon his reign. Verse 11, Asa, behold the acts of Asa, first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of kings of Judah. And notice, verse 12, and Asa in the 39th year, so 36 years, now 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Now, I've read various ideas of what this possibly was. Some suggest gout. The Bible doesn't necessarily specify what it would be, but he was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. It's indicated that more than likely this was it started in his feet but spread throughout his body. Yet in his disease, notice this, he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians. I thought of this in relation to America, our trust in pharmakia. In fact, let me remind you of the wording here. I'll just read it here real quick. Revelation 18, remember I brought that message, I think, about a year and a half ago about deceived by pharmakia. And that word sorceries there is actually from the word that we get the word pharmacy from. It says here in Revelation 18:23, "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all." This is economic Babylon. "Shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great," we're talking about powerful men, "of the earth." You think about all these powerful men that are pushing all this stuff on us. "For by their sorceries were all nations deceived." It does not say by their sorceries all nations were healed, but all nations were deceived. And again, that word sorceries is from a Greek word that we get the word pharmacy from. Now, with that said, I want you to notice here, it says in verse 13, then of chapter 16, "Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David." Notice this. "And laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by," notice, "the apothecary's art. And they made a great, very great burning for him." I was not aware of this, but I looked at a cross-reference in Jeremiah 34, verse 5. Apparently, this was a start of a practice in the kingdom of Judah, where they actually had a burning of incense and all those kinds of spices and probably herbs and all that at the time of their burning. So this was a new practice that they had established. But again, I want you to notice these two incidents where it says very clearly he was not trusting in the Lord. Now, does this mean that we do not go to doctors? I want you to notice here it says again in verse 12 through 14, can you show me when it says where it says he prayed? How quick are we to go to a doctor? How quick are we to call a doctor? How quick are whatever? And we do not stop to ask the Lord first. We do not seek the Lord's help first. I am not saying that we may need surgery or whatever. I can't perform surgery on myself. At least it would not be a very good idea. But here's the idea. Here's the point of this. It says, "Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians." And again in verse 14 we have the word apothecaries. So what is an apothecary? It's one who practices pharmacy, according to Webster's 1828. An apothecary prepares drugs for medicinal uses. We call them a pharmacist today. here's America's bent on trusting what the pharmacies have, the apothecaries, according to the Bible word, without trusting in the Lord. Where is our trust tonight? That's the emphasis that the Lord emphasized on my heart here. Where is our trust? Notice with me Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Almost finished here. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. I want to show you here somebody else that learned a situation where she had to trust the Lord and not the physicians. It says here, Luke 8, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Notice faith, the importance of faith. Now, as we tie all this together, notice with me Psalm 119. If I remember correctly, these are the middle verses of the Bible. I did not take time to look that up. I'm just trusting my memory in this case, but these are very powerful verses, and if these are the middle verses, it's a powerful reminder of where our trust needs to be. Psalm 119, verses 8 and 9. Says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Now, let me ask you, are the physicians in our culture, are they men? Well, many of them are women now, but, you know, anyway. They're people, all right? "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes," all right? So we probably say politicians. But you notice here the emphasis on trusting in the Lord and not putting confidence in man. Now, when you think of the life of King Asa, so let me ask you, what wicked, wicked things did he do like the kings of Israel? I've already shown you, because of Jeroboam and on, they only were wicked kings in the northern kingdom. Not one good king after the divided kingdom. So what wicked, terribly wicked things did Asa do like Israel's kings? It's not there. And literally what happens is God sends a prophet to him to remind him that he has a misplaced trust. Can I emphasize strongly enough tonight that is something that God takes very seriously? Where is our trust tonight? Is it with God or is it with men? Again, we see this application of Ecclesiastes 4:13, an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. I don't want to live my life in such a way where I get to the end of my life and it's like, I know it all. I can do it myself. I don't need God. Or I can go find somebody to help me. But you think about Solomon, you think of Asa, you think of Joash after the death of Jehoiada. We have several examples in the kings of Judah where it says in their old age, in their older years, they turned away from the Lord. They turned away from the Lord. King Asa was a good king until the last 5 years of his life. I believe in one way he was no longer admonished, because remember his reaction to the prophet, "You're going to jail." I wonder how close we are to that here in America, where we have some old kings who do not want to be admonished anymore. But where's our trust tonight? Is our trust in the Lord? Again, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying. There's some cults who say, you're not supposed to go to doctors. I am not saying you don't go to a doctor. Could you do your own knee replacement? It's like, can you do your own back surgery, Mike? I mean,
don't look forward.
Yeah, well, you think about this. There's things we cannot do physically. And yet, where is our first trust? Is it in the Lord or is it in man? Lord, I pray that you'd help us. to examine our own hearts here tonight. Lord, how many times do we go to a doctor, do we do whatever, and we don't even talk to you about our need? Lord, help us, please. Lord, how many times we'll go to a bank instead of asking you to provide. I mean, there's so many applications we could have with this. Lord, help us to trust you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.